This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Yeah, you know, Sebastian, we're all concerned about the threat of violent terror because it's urgent and immediate and life-threatening. But this threat is so much bigger than that. It's ideological. It's demographic. It's about the infiltration of the United States and the West. Does the president-elect understand that? And what is he prepared to do to fight it in that way?
Oh, absolutely. If you listen to his national security speech from Philadelphia or his Gettysburg address, Donald Trump gets it. He has people like Lieutenant General Mike Flynn around him, director of the DIA, who wrote the book Field of Flight. Both of these gentlemen have said it's not just about killing terrorists. That's part of it. But the ultimate victory is when we take down the ideology. Just look at the statistics. We've arrested or killed 124 people in America in the last 2.5 years linked to ISIS. The issue isn't poverty. It's not people growing up in refugee camps. These are Americans for the most part, or immigrants that are successful. It's the ideology of global jihadism we have to destroy. And Monica, having met Donald Trump, having worked closely with General Flynn, I can tell you they get it, and we will have a different approach come January 21st.
I think it'll be a unique time, Scott. You know, terms like radical Islamist, you know, will you know, we'll hear, you know, in terms of you know, some insight so we can understand what it is that we're dealing with. But, you know, even much further, and Dr. Gork and I had this discussion the last time he was on with us, as you might recall, and that is the indoctrination of generations. And I don't think America understands what's been going on. It's kind of like, you know, here in America, for the most part, although, you know, you look at what's happening on our college campuses and you wonder, you know, we've been kind of indoctrinated, you know, with the American way of life. I mean, Thanksgiving is part of it, the holiday season, you know, some of these traditions, this is what we've grown up with. Well, for some of these young kids, what they know is they've been trained to be future jihadists. I got to tell you, it was astounding to me when I saw that graduation ceremony for these young, you know, kindergarten kids, what they were going through. I mean, they were acting, you know, like they were killing Jews and, you know, play acting. And you say, well, it's just, you know, play. But I mean, these are 5-year-olds. And then you realize, go, hey, this is not just one classroom. I mean, this is typical of classrooms, of graduations that are happening with Palestinians and other Arab nations that are antithetical to freedom, to Jews, to the American way of life. I mean, they have been raised up and indoctrinated to believe that everything from the West is evil. It is antithetical to their religious beliefs. And they have a mission from God to eradicate the West. They see it upon themselves that God has called them to judge infidels. And, you know, this is what we're dealing with. You try to, you know, even in talking with, you know, moderate Muslims, and you ask them about this, is this prevalent? Is this part of the, you know, part of the lifestyle? You know, you may not carry it with you, but it's almost like, you know, many Manchurian candidates that have been released here unbeknownst to ourselves, because we don't think in those terms. You know, that's not the way we want our children. We want our children to understand, you know, the ABCs and how to add 1 + 1. And, you know, but in this particular case, you've got young kids being indoctrinated for war. And, you know, how does that stop? I mean, when you've been raised that way, and it just doesn't happen in these kindergarten classes, that's the start of it. So, you know, they think these young kids, they, you know, of course, they want to please, you know, their parents and adults. So they figure, hey, let's just, you know, keep this rolling on. So that's the trajectory that they have been on for decades. This isn't something that's just happened in, you know, the last couple of years. This has been going on for a long time. And the West needs to wake up to that reality. And that's what Dr. Gorka has been saying to us for a number of years. Do we have ears to listen? Well, it is Happy Thanksgiving on the bright side in America. I wish you all and for your families a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Have a good time with your families today.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to get involved in the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Roger Stone is with us. What some would describe as an alternative historian and Republican political consultant who has played a key role in the election of Republican presidents from Richard Nixon to Ronald Reagan, George H.W., and George W. Bush. Stone is the author of the book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. Roger Stone, good to have you back with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm delighted to be with you, but the only thing you left out of my resume, the thing I'm probably proudest of course, is my long association and support for Donald J. Trump. So,
excellent. Well, I was going to get to that, okay?
I could not be happier. I must tell you, I'm still pinching myself.
Well, you saw this early on, Roger. Some of us could see what was happening. The media, they're beside themselves because they were so much into the tank for the wrong side that they just cannot believe the outcome.
Yeah, I think we finally got to the point in this country where we reached the perfect storm, where enough Americans began to understand that the elite leadership of the two parties that have been running the country for the last 40 years have run the country into the ditch.
It was time to try
something entirely new and different.
Exactly. And new and different is the order of the day. But let's not abandon the fact that the guy's, probably the classic chief executive officer.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you can run a $1 billion international corporation, particularly one with as much exposure as his business takes, you can run the federal government. Perhaps the problem has been that we don't use business principles in running the federal government. That's why we have enormous debt and why we have enormous waste.
Mm-hmm.
I think the single best thing about Trump is the fact that he's not beholden to any special interest. He doesn't owe anybody, not the banks, not the financial interests, not Wall Street. I mean, he's his own man, and now he's the American people's man.
Yeah, there's no lobbyist going in and out of Trump Tower, is there?
Well, they may be, but they're leaving unhappy because
yes.
You can't bully this guy. You can't buy him.
Mm.
You give as much to his inauguration you want. If you want to give him $500,000 tomorrow, that'd be great.
Right.
But don't think you're buying anything because you're not. You're
exactly.
Buying good government. That's what you're getting.
Exactly. Well, and like you, Roger, I said that perhaps we needed an outsider who could come in and almost be like a Chapter 11, a bankruptcy type specialist CEO, a guy who can look without beholden, without having any particular penchant for anything other than getting this country back on track and making it great again. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of freedom in that, and it is driving the left nuts because it's no longer business as usual on the Beltway.
Yeah, no, the power elite, the K Street, Wall Street combine, and their allies in the mainstream media are in a total meltdown. Here's a guy who's not a member of their club. So, everybody who has been on the Republican side can remember that every presidential election we've had, our candidate talked about cutting federal spending and getting the deficit under control. But it never really happens. We just talk about it. It's a great talking point. Now you have a guy for whom there are no sacred cows. I mean, he is going to swing a wide broom And I think ultimately it's going to take an axe to the waste and abuse that's in our federal budget. And this is driving the moneyed interest to have all kinds of MAs and special provisions out of their mind, out of their mind.
Will you imagine someone who comes into the office that actually puts the American people first? I mean, you know, God forbid we would serve the taxpayers, right?
Well, his list is relatively short. I mean, in all honesty, if he can seal our borders and build a system to more properly vet those who want to come in the country, if he can repeal these globalist trade deals that we were promised were the panacea and turn out to be the biggest mistakes perhaps we have made, NAFTA, and now gutting TPP, if he can recharge the economy by cutting corporate tax rates below those of China and Mexico and starting a flood of job creation in this country instead of abroad, two or three other financial reforms like his inversion program and so on, plus an overall tax cut, this economy will boom. With a booming economy, now you have the revenues to start addressing some of these problems.
Yeah,
so, I think it's a short list that he has to achieve to get the country back on the road to sanity.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention, you know, some quick things that he could do that would bring a great amount of relief and promote job creation once again is just some quick tweaks, to Obamacare, which later on will repeal and replace. It's going to take some time to do that, but there's some things in the short term he could do that would give businesses a real shot in the arm, don't you think?
There's no question. I think they're going to take a hard look at these executive decisions that Obama has done unilaterally, many of which are job-crushing, many of which are anti-free enterprise, anti-capitalism in some cases. The onerous regulations they're putting businesses under. Now you add on the whole layer of oppressive taxation, and if you're a smart business person, you figure out at some point, wow, I can make a lot more money doing business in China or Mexico or elsewhere. We have to structure a situation in which the exact opposite is true, where business then, why am I doing business in China when I would pay lower taxes in the United States?
Well, Roger, you've been very acutely aware of, the evangelical and Christian vote, Catholic vote especially. Why did they come out in record numbers this time for Donald Trump?
Well, I really think to a certain extent, social issue voters, in some cases, subjugated their first interest to the larger interest of getting the country, safe from Islamic terrorism and prosperous again. Mm. I mean, I have friends who are social conservatives who sense that Trump has a pretty tolerant view of gay marriage, for example. But that didn't stop them from voting for him because if we're blown up by Islamic terrorists, it won't matter who is married to who.
Right, exactly.
You have to have some sense of proportion. And this country was hurtling towards war with the Russians over Syria. Syria, where we have no interests and no friends.
Exactly.
Assad is financing Hezbollah, and he's propped up by the Russians. They're not our friends. And on the other side, you have ISIS propped up by the Saudis. Guess what? They're not our friends. Why would we go to war over this, spilling American blood and borrowing the money to wage the war because we're broke?
Yeah. And then what's in it for us, right?
Right. I mean, these are the Obama-Clinton policies brought us to the brink of the war with Russia. Now, Trump, he's a realist. He knows the Russians aren't our friends. But like Nixon, he favors a period of détente. Let's sit down for some hard-headed negotiations and see if we can't live together and maybe team up to crush ISIS, as opposed to lobbying nuclear weapons at each other, which is where we were headed under Obama.
Right. Well, President Obama said he'd be willing to meet with anybody in the world without precondition, but there's no doubt, whether it's stated or not, there is a precondition when you negotiate with one Donald J. Trump, isn't there?
Well, I have negotiated since I met him. I apologize for all the incoming. It's transition time, so you can imagine what that's like.
Right.
I have negotiated probably four of my own compensation agreements with Donald in the 40 years I've known him, 39 years. If is not a man who leaves anything on the table.
Right.
I mean, he is the toughest. He is the toughest. Seriously, the toughest guy I have ever met.
Well, hey, Roger, let's leave it right there for just a second. We got to go to break. We'll be right back after this. Roger Stone is with us.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. TLC Laser Eye Centers is now offering great prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology for less than what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-933-1427. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's $200 off per eye. We've already performed over 2 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve for less than what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-933-1427. 1-800-933-1427.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users, if you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
I want to thank you. You're miles away from home.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez live.
I want to thank you.
Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with Roger Stone, the alternative historian, Republican political consultant who's played a key role in the election of Republican presidents from Richard Nixon to Ronald Reagan. Of course, let's add Donald J. Trump to that stellar list as well. Roger, before the break, you were talking about what a tough negotiator Donald Trump is. And this is something the left doesn't even want to begin to embrace and understand because they don't understand business.
Through this campaign, Trump talked relentlessly about tariffs. Chinese want to screw on with us, I'll just slap on tariffs. Now, I don't think he'll ever really do that, but he'll certainly threaten to do it, and he might do it.
Right.
He'd much rather have them come to the table and make a deal so he doesn't have to do that. At the same time, if he's cutting the corporate tax rate below the 30% that the Chinese currently charge, he cuts their knees out from under them. They'll be afraid that he's going to do tariffs, and you'll make a deal. He's
exactly.
a bold negotiator. I think he understands the downside of tariffs, but it's a club that he's using on his competitors. Okay, fine. You want to send a car here? I'll just throw a $1,000 tax on for every car. Or maybe we can sit down and talk. So, look, I just think he's the guy you want at the table with the Chinese, with the Mexicans, so, you know, with our trade partners to forge a whole new deal.
Well, what a concept, Roger, that fair trade or free trade would be fair trade.
Yeah, I mean, look, Trump is a free trader in the purest sense of the word, but he understands that we have an uneven playing field.
Exactly.
Stacked deck. Mm-hmm. So if we really had free trade, that'd be great, but we don't really have it. So therefore, his position is not anti-free trade. It's just it's kind of smart trade, if you will.
Exactly. I got to tell you, Roger, I've been really excited with this Donald Trump presidency, the jobs that will be created. I believe there's low-hanging fruit, and his ambitions for his first 100 days could be greatly realized and could solve a lot. In the marketing realm, we often say that ideas solve sales and sales solve everything. And in politics, it's all about the economy. There's so much to be solved when people are back to work, happy to be coming home after putting in a good earning hard days work at the office and that. And America has been stagnant for the last decade, and they are eager to get back to work. And we've got this pent-up potential just waiting to be expressed. And I think Donald Trump is the guy to open up the gates. What do you think?
Not only do I agree, but I think he's got one unique opportunity, which is if he can bring prosperity and opportunity to the inner cities, to African Americans, to Hispanics, we could have one of the most historic realignments of all time. They never had African Americans, particularly, never had any great affinity for Hillary Clinton. They did vote for her in overwhelming numbers because of the usual scare tactics used by the Democrats. I saw a great flyer this morning. I was in downtown Miami. Guy hands me a flyer. Donald Trump is going to provide federal funding for the Ku Klux Klan. No, he isn't. Who says?
Yes.
This is
yes.
nonsense. This is
right.
This is part of this whole, you know, George Soros financed assault on him. No, he's not dissolving gay marriages. No, he's not reimposing segregation. No, he is not building a Ku Klux Klan museum. These are the kind of crazy lefty, you know, nutcase charges all over the net today.
Yeah. Well, it's so extreme, Roger. I agree. You know, they're so quick all of a sudden, you know, this alt-right and white supremacy and everything else. But let's not talk about, you know, the alt-left and what they've done, you know, including the money and the power brokering of one George Soros that has been going on endlessly. And, of course, the mainstream media who's been complicit in it all. And I find it quite galling that they want to call exception to this and then make up stories. I mean, we've known about the fake news. WikiLeaks exposed it big time as to what these guys were doing, and it came back and bit them in the back end.
Well, it's not just, little unknown or obscure websites. The New York Times writes the day after the election that in his campaign, Trump disparaged black people, Hispanics, gays, and women. No, he didn't. No,
yes.
he didn't. Who
right.
says? That's just wrong, but it's still page one above the fold.
Yeah.
So, look, I don't expect that to change. The good news is that the mainstream media no longer has a monopoly. Thanks to shows like this one and talk radio and the Internet and Breitbart and Daily Caller and InfoWars.com and StoneColdTruth.com and the entire network of alternative media, no one can control the narrative anymore. The American people get to know a lot more.
Right.
They get to make their own decisions. Used to be, when I started in politics, there was three networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. If it wasn't on them, it didn't happen.
Well, yeah, they commanded 85% of the viewing audience back then, Roger. You know, you imagine today, less than 50.
And declining.
Yes.
Because younger voters aren't watching television for their news. They're getting their news from their handheld device on demand when they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not rushing home to see the 6 o'clock news. So the nature of the change in communications has, I think, in many ways, fired and galvanized the Trump revolution. I have a book coming out on Inauguration Day called The Making of the President 2016, how Donald Trump orchestrated an American revolution and proved the mainstream media wrong. In which I'm going to get into this entire kind of cosmic look at it.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, you'll be back, and I'll be chasing you down for that one, too. We need to have your insight on that, Roger. You know, as you say, Donald Trump is not beholden. There are some media outlets like ours, totally independent, which allows us to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And, of course, like anything, like my old mentor used to say, your charm's only as good as your bottom line. No doubt that President Obama got in a lot on charm, and now he's leaving with little to the bottom line.
Well, and look, I'm hopeful that the president-elect will bypass big media and do a series of radio interviews around the country with, you know, with small media, not small meaning minute, but look at it regionally, look at it from the point of view of communicating around the mainstream guys who are bending the narrative and take your case right to the people. So, I mean, I think Trump is going to be a very unpredictable president. The most predictable thing about Trump is that he's unpredictable.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, so, you know, so for example, ditching his Secret Service detail and going to dinner at 21 the other
night. Yes, 21,
yes. I love that.
Yeah, I did too.
I love that. That's what a regular guy would do.
Yeah, exactly. And as you say, as unpredictable as he is, you know, the mainstream media has been left in the lurch here because look what they reported. Look what they are reporting, Roger. They're losing all credibility. Whatever, you know, remnant of credibility they had, they're like, you know, they're doubling down on this deal. And it's amazing to me that they're setting themselves up for an even greater fall.
Look, they failed to expose the fact that the demonstrations against Trump and the violence at his rally was all fomented. It was all paid for agitprop. It was
right. AstroTurf.
You know, thugs paid by Soros being told to wear Bernie Sanders T-shirts so poor Bernie gets blamed, even though he has nothing to do with it. It was a Clinton operation, start to finish. The Veritas videos proved it. WikiLeaks proved it. They're busted.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, David Brock, Dr. Evils, you know, money laundering like an SOB with hard dollar monies, non-profit monies. Soros is writing him checks for $30-40 million. He's misusing, you know, non-profit tax vehicles to launch personal attacks on Donald Trump. The whole thing is, it is amazing when you look at the fact that Hillary and Soros and their allies probably all told spent somewhere near $1.5 billion. Donald Trump and his allies probably spent all told $280 million?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yep, exactly. And when it was projected that both would be spending over $1 billion, Donald Trump again defied all odds, and he comes up the big winner. And I believe because he wins, America wins, Roger Stone. And I'm excited for this future. It looks rather bright ahead of us.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you, Bill, and you can keep up with me at StoneColdTruth.com. I'm going to be out there fighting for the Trump agenda.
Yeah, you and me both. Roger Stone on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you.
This report is brought to you by Jason's Deli. What does tradition mean to you? For 40 years, the tradition at Jason's Deli has always been making quality meals for the communities it loves. As a way of saying thank you to their loyal customers, participating Jason's Deli locations will be celebrating its 40th anniversary with a Customer Appreciation Day on Wednesday, November 30th. With a purchase of any adult entree, diners will also get select signature menu items at their original prices from 1976. Some sandwiches are as low as $1.35. Joe Tatoris Jr., founder of Jason's Deli.
from our gluten-free and meatless items to our historic ban of artificial trans fats, Jason's Deli has consistently been at the forefront of change when it comes to offering menu items that anyone can enjoy. We're proud to be founded on this principle of choice and will continue to honor this tradition for many years to come.
To learn more and check for participating Jason's Deli locations, visit www.jasonsdeli.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Coming at you 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. You can tweet me at B Martinez Live, at B as in Bill, Martinez Live. And especially with our next guest, Israel Ortega is back with us. Israel is a writer for the conservative political news site Opportunity Lives. He has years of experience working in both the public and private sector, possessing a thorough understanding of a variety of public policy issues, including, but not limited to, immigration, education, political analysis, and Latin America. It is always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Hey, thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Hey, great time here. I got to tell you, in light of this election, as you and I had discussed before and had forecast, they were mismeasuring the Hispanic vote. They wanted to look at it monolithically. They wanted to look at it through this, I believe, misinterpreted and misreported statement that Donald Trump had made about immigration, particularly with Mexico. But, you know, in your conversations, I know, with fellow Hispanics, mine as well, you know, people are saying, hey, look, there's a real issue here, and it's not being addressed by the Democrats, though Trump admittedly may be addressing it a bit indelicately. It is a rather indelicate problem, because we're living with it, and it's not fair.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No, and I think that's one of the big takeaways after this election, Bill, is that I think liberals need to understand that, you know, at the end of the day, Hispanics and other minority groups are you know, they care about a lot of issues that all Americans care about, and you know, the economy certainly was one of those issues that came up, and I think that's for Democrats, it's a day of reckoning, because so much of what they put forward is on this like racial identity politics. And here, you know, we see that, you know, Donald Trump actually, got 29% of the vote, which was slightly more than, what Mitt Romney got 4 years ago, which, for many is pretty surprising.
Right. Well, and, of course, repeatedly the media would say he's not even going to get close. He hasn't broken the ceiling. This is going to be a runaway election. I mean, even up to, as the votes were being counted and being processed early in the day, it was a projected sweep for Hillary Clinton.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's been the conversation that I've heard and I've had with friends who work for the other side who said that they just did not they were expecting a party and a celebration, and then it turns out that it was terrible all around. Bill, I mean, Republicans hung on to the Senate, which is very important. The House, of course, still in Republican control. So we really haven't seen something like this in Washington in quite some time. As you remember, after Obama won the first 2008 election, Democrats controlled the House as well. And so this is, all of the different branches of government are now in Republican hands. So we'll see what Republicans do and if they capitalize on this opportunity.
Well, I think that's what a lot of voters are saying to Donald Trump and the rest of the Republicans is don't screw this up, right?
Right. And I think one of the things will be on Obamacare, though. I think that will be one of the promises Republicans made. Donald Trump made this on the campaign trail. And when you look at the premiums increasing for a lot of folks, you see why Republicans are moving very aggressively to repeal this law.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they got nervous. I mean, even Chris Wallace, I was surprised with him because there was no quarter given in terms of Trump's, it's so funny. The media on one hand wants to beat Trump up because he's so harsh. He isn't fair minded. He doesn't want to be inclusive. Then he comes back after a meeting, which seemed to be, for all intent and purposes, visually, was a congenial meeting between he and Barack Obama. For all the bitterness and the word slinging that had gone on during the election process, they seem to be okay. I mean, it wasn't like they were singing all 56 verses of Kumbaya, admittedly. But I think what came out of it was that, Trump started realizing, here's the president of the United States. Here's his signature legacy. Is there a way to, give him some grace, give him some, some measure of respect here in trying to put together a national health care program and say, if we talk about amending it, all of a sudden everybody gets crazy. Well, in a sense, if you're going to maintain some of the principal things which most people like, their children being on a family's health plan to 26, why not make it 28 or 30 if they're in college?
Right.
What's the big diff, right? But you're going to amend some of those things, right? Pre-existing conditions, huge. We got to find a way to manage the pre-existing issue, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's what Donald Trump was on 60 Minutes recently. This is after he was elected president, and to your point, President-elect Donald Trump said that he would keep some of the pieces of Obamacare that are popular and well liked, like the pre-existing conditions and that the keeping kids or young adults on their parents' plan until they're 26. So yeah, I think that there are going to be some things put in place that will remain rather, but I do think Republicans are going to push Donald Trump to repeal most of the law, and I think that for a lot of Republicans it's going to be great news.
Well, the big issue, certainly, I mean, there are some big problems, that forced businesses to hold to that 50 employee limit, those things that are hampering business and job growth and all this, because what I anticipate is because of Donald Trump's wiring, his business wiring, he is going to unleash a productive America that has just been frustrated by having a lid on their human potential. And this is going to be an incredible, I would say this next year is going to be most phenomenal for this country in terms of GDP, employment issues. I mean, just in simple, lifting of these goofy restrictions that have hurt business.
Right. No, well, you're already seeing it, Bill. I mean, you saw that the stock market was up last week. A lot of seems like, investors are a lot more bullish now. Precisely to the points you're raising about regulations, because a lot of what the free enterprise system needs is frankly just the government to get out of the way, and part of the problem during the Obama years has been that we've seen a growth in government. So we'll see. I'm certainly hoping that we can have a great economy next year, a lot of people who are still out of work or looking for better opportunities to pay better. And so hopefully President-elect Donald Trump with Republicans and Democrats will get that done.
Well, David Stockman spelled out the problem with job creation very clearly on this show here a couple of weeks back. Is he told me, he said, Bill, he says, you know, here's the fact. America has not created one net breadwinning job since the year 2000. I mean, that is a headline.
Right. Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And it doesn't surprise me. I mean, and when you think about the tax code that we have in place that, you know, President Obama really hasn't looked at that seriously and said, look, we can actually work with Republicans to get something done to reform the tax code. He obviously is leaving the presidency, and now it'll be up to President-elect Trump. And I do hope that, you know, reforming the tax code is one of the great ways, I think, that you can jumpstart the economy and get both sides to work with you.
Well, I'm starting to hear Bill Clinton one more time, as he said back in the latter 90s, the era of big government is dead. He's coming back and saying, really, the era of big government is really dead.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's hope you're right. I know a lot of folks here in D.C. Are hoping that's the case.
Well, that's amazing. I'm just glad to hear that, because the sentiment is generally, you know, the majority of those in D.C. want big government. They have fared fairly well with the expansion and, you know, with the dream of big government being the answer and being everybody's daddy, right?
Right. Absolutely. And so... But that's good. If they're out of work, that means that hopefully there will be jobs in the private sector for folks who are looking for it. So,
well, the good news for Hispanics, and you and I know this because we grew up this way, is Hispanics are not afraid of working. They look forward to supporting their families. I mean, I look for great big dreams and, you know, just dramatic things to happen within the Hispanic culture that is just endemic to who they are, don't you say?
Absolutely. And 30% of the Hispanic population agrees with you, Bill, and I think that I know Hispanics want to work, and hopefully we'll see that job creation that I think our country so desperately needs, particularly among the Hispanic community.
Well, Iz, we're out of time. It's always good to have you with us. Israel Ortega on Bill Martinez.
Thank you, Bill.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
This report is brought to you by the National Endowment for Financial Education. A new survey from the National Endowment for Financial Education reveals how Americans feel about their personal financial futures under President-elect Donald Trump. Ted Beck, President and CEO, National Endowment for Financial Education.
With the election of Donald Trump, the only 27% felt that they were more confident, and the rest was equally split between staying the same and less confident. We asked the same question if Secretary Clinton had been elected, and there only 19% felt more confidence. I think the key thing going forward is, especially in making financial decisions, is stay calm. Just try to figure out what's going to happen and how rules might change over the next year. In the interim, do things like check your budget, set some money aside, have an emergency fund, and try to figure out, are you paying the proper amount for financial services?
For more information, please visit smartaboutmoney.org. That's smartaboutmoney.org.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Love is a burning
thing. Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you. 3 hours fresh every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 to noon Eastern. And we've got a real treat here. We're going to be talking Johnny Cash his latest book, Believe It or Not, which was put together by his son and the son of Johnny Cash and June Carter. Johnny Carter Cash is with us. He almost was named Sue, but his dad gave him a break. And we're going to talk about the legacy of Johnny Cash and these forgotten, or I should say not forgotten, but forever words, the unknown poems that his son, John Carter Cash, has put together. You know, since his first recordings in 1955, Johnny Cash has been an icon in the music world. Now comes a collection of his as yet unpublished poems, adding to his already prolific number of original songs. And this is the book that we're going to be talking about, Forever Words, The Unknown Poems. In these words, we see the world through Cash's eyes, his reflection upon his own interior reality, frailties and strengths alike. The poetry reveals his depth of understanding, both of the world around him and within, coming from purely American and gospel traditions of songwriting. Johnny Cash reflects upon love, pain, freedom, and mortality. John Carter Cash, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay, Bill. Thank you very much for having me this morning.
Well, great to have you on.
And the continuing legacy of my father's words beyond the music or within the music, as part of the music. Just very excited about the release of the book. And dad's legacy lives on.
Well, I got to tell you, when I heard about you coming on the show, I was really excited. You know, I make reference to A Boy Named Sue only because it was one of the first songs I ever played in my first radio job in Ventura, California. I was at a country station. That's how I broke into the radio business. And I was playing Boy Named Sue. I played some of your grandmother's songs, Mother Maybelle Carter. I mean, I got it on. So I says, boy, there's a lot of stuff here, but to be able to read your father's poems and to get some additional insight, I think overall, you know, from what we were able to see, we understood Johnny Cash to be a rather unique and special individual. But as you say, in forwarding the legacy of your father, And you sense your mother in these poems as well. I did anyway. And I think it's just really special for any Johnny Cash fan to be able to get their hands on this book, Forever Words.
Oh, man, you know, Dad, of course, is recognized, you know, as an icon and as a music figure entertainer. Still touches people on a regular basis with his songs and with his music. And, of course, you know, you mentioned Born in Sue, but that's not something he physically penned. Of course, he did write I Walk the Line and, you know, Folsom Prison Blues and some other beautiful songs, including love songs like Flesh and Blood. And power, the power of the lyrics, the power of the word, I believe, can be just as strong, you know, as the music of
exactly.
My father. And he is an American cultural literary figure as much as he is a, you know, musical figure, entertainer. And, you know, going through the papers, my dad's papers after he passed away, it made me realize that there was a cohesive picture here. There was something that hadn't been said before in a way that was unique. And so it was very exciting to put this together and to work with Paul Muldoon, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, Irish poet, and I believe in Paul's work, and he also believed in my father's work. So that connection was great to make, and just excited about this book.
Well, you know, and I appreciate right off the bat your honesty and vulnerability in writing about your father. You didn't make him any more than what he was. You addressed his personality. I mean, Johnny Cash lived his life in public. I mean, we knew his ups, his downs. In fact, your foreword is titled Redemptions. And you talk about this in a very special way, and I believe in the way a son who understands mercy and forgiveness.
Hey man, you know, when it comes to a legacy, and my father speaks about it in Forever Words. He's in the last thing in here that we know of as a poem that he wrote is the poem Forever. Mm-hmm. You know, the songs that I sing will still be sung.
Right.
The trees that I planted are still young. And so that, you know, the goodness of that legacy endures. And he most certainly was not a, you know, he was a flawed human being. He definitely was. And he was the first one to tell you that. And so this book is as much about his fears and his shortcomings as it is his triumphs, you know. Mm-hmm. And but there's everything within this book, the pages in this book, that show the different varied aspects of my father's character. His humor is in here. Mm-hmm. There's some great stuff within the book. And, of course, as you mentioned, his enduring love for my mother and all of, and the great loves of his life are within this book.
Well, and he was a spiritual man in and of it all, an ordained minister. I especially appreciate it. I'm glad you included this. He bore it all for me. He bore it all for me when I was lost, the painful cross. He bore it all for me. He took the blame for me. He took the blame for me. He counted my wrongs as forgotten and gone. He took the blame for me. He paid the price for me. He paid the price for me, a price that was high for failure and lies. He paid the price for me as he bore the pain for me. He spoke not a word, not a cry was heard. He bore the pain for me. Yes, he bore it all for me. Yes, he bore it all for me. With nothing required but faith in the Lord, he bore it all for me. Wow. I mean,
exactly, man.
Very, very.
And he was
confident.
Always, you know, he was always free and open to profess his faith. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, there's hardly anybody else that I can think of that could get up on stage and sing a song like Cocaine Blues and rouse the crowd to the point of riot. And turn around and sing Peace in the Valley and have them all, you know, nearly, especially like in Folsom Prison, have them, the men nearly like holding hands and smiling. It's amazing, you know, the magic that my father had as a performer. But it goes beyond that here. And you know, it's great to see this book come out, and it just opens a different chapter in his life.
Well, as you say, as we all are flawed, nobody is perfect, but, you know, the multiple aspects of his humanity, which we all are layered people. But you say initially, you know, as a young boy, you knew Dad as Fun Dad. He was Funny Dad. He's a character, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us some of your stories about that.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, of course, the Man in Black is well known, and that's just as true as you know, as anything. But he was as much a a man of color and laughter as he was any other aspect of his character. It was just as important to the makeup of the man. And that's what I remember. I remember a man who loved to just enjoy life. And that's what he installed in me from early on, and I saw him live that way for his entire life.
Well, and of course, especially endearing for you, and what an example of human love was the relationship between your father and your mother.
Oh, yeah, and it just so much else was not without flaw, and they definitely struggled a lot in life, and you know, I mean, it wasn't as if from at one point in their life, you know, maybe in 1968, that they, you know, everything was just happily ever after. They continued to have struggles throughout their life. But their love endured, and by the end of their lives, their love was as beautiful and as strong as it had ever been. And it was, it's a testament to the strength and the survival of the goodness of the heart that their love endured as it did.
Well, John, you know, as you were mentioning earlier, you know, after the passing of your mother and father, they passed, you know, relatively close to each other, right?
Yes, sir. My mother passed away in May, and my father, you know, passed away in September of that year, 2003. And he did not, from when he retired from the road in 1997, Dad went into the studio. And then he kept recording, kept making music. Mm. He was working on the American Recording Series with Rick Rubin. And when my mother passed away, Dad continued to make music. He continued to work in the studio.
Mm.
His body was frail. He was losing his eyesight. If we listen to those recordings, we can definitely hear a decline in physical strength. Mm. However, just as true as anything is a rise, you know, in his tenacity, in his endurance, in his ability to almost achieve a preternatural persistence. And that's evident when I listen to those recordings. Although the frailty is there, some of the most beautiful work that he ever did, I believe, was at the end of his life. And and that was like the blossom blooming of a flower that that, you know, survives in the greatest time of greatest travail. And what a wondrous thing that he continued to make music until really until 10 days before he passed away.
Well, John Carter Cash, I cannot thank you enough, you know, to be the one that carries forth the legacy of your mother and your father and your grandmother. The Cash family is a real special calling for one's life. And I thank you for the gift that you're giving to all of us that have loved your father, have been entertained by your father. This is really a very special book. Johnny Cash, Forever Words, The Unknown Poems. And we'll wrap it up with what's on the back cover. And you drew reference to this. Your dad wrote, "You tell me that I must perish like the flowers that I cherish, nothing remaining of my name, nothing remembered of my fame, but the trees that I planted still are young, the songs I sang will still be sung." That is a powerful testament and legacy and poem written by your father, John Carter Cash. Thank you so much for being with us on Bill Martinez Live.
My name is Lee and I'm 41. I've been using One World Wave for 2.5 years now. I suffered a bulged L4 and L5 disc from a car accident 3 years ago, and since that time I've been unable to walk long distances, do any minor lifting, or just normal activities with my children without having severe back pain. Since I've started using One World Way, I've been able to walk more, engage in activities with my children, and have less lower back pain. One World Way has helped me regain back my strength, confidence, and have a healthier life. I've noticed a weight loss of about 20 pounds, my A1C dropped 2 points, and I have more energy now. One World Way has helped me regain back my life.
The results for clients on One World Way have surpassed the results for most any other supplements, as well as all other whey protein powders. One World Way is non-denatured and frequency encoded. We believe the frequency encoding increases your body's production of glutathione and energy production. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on it.